Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Joining me at this time is director Karen Chinore to talk about her film, Mayday. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's very good to be here.
Great, I'm excited about this. And just to briefly introduce your film, Mayday, for those who are not familiar with it, you know, it's really a story about a young woman who, after an unusual storm, is mysteriously transported to an alternate world where she meets a crew of female soldiers caught in what is defined via a press release as an endless war. I've seen the film, I thought it was great, so much that I want to ask you. But what I thought was interesting about it is that despite the contemporary feel of the movie in different ways, several different ways, I was curious to ask you about what I felt were like fairy tale like or even classic fantasy cinema roots of this film. And I wondered, was that branch of narrative storytelling at large a starting point for you?
Actually, it was. The myth of the sirens has been a huge influence on me. So a sort of mythic bent was already in my brain. Women who lure sailors to their deaths, they live on the rocks and in Greek mythology. I love that strange, beautiful, terrifying metaphor. And then cinematically, I think as I was writing it, I realized I was very attracted to The Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland and the way that young women are transported to a new place. And that was very appealing to me.
Mm. Was it also a desire to sort of revisit him and maybe from a more a contemporary perspective?
Well, I guess from my perspective, which just by definition is more contemporary, but also I had a very strong reaction to The Wizard of Oz. I was obsessed with it as a girl, but I was disappointed. I was disappointed that Dorothy came home and they didn't believe her. They didn't believe that she had been anywhere, and they tried to convince her that she was delusional. And I always wanted a different ending for Dorothy. So I think as I was working out this sort of new mythology, this story of a young woman and her friends, I was thinking, let's give her a transformation. Let's let her experience something and change. So that was satisfying.
So the reevaluation also, I guess by definition, would be a more decisively feminist perspective as well.
I think by definition, anything I do would be feminist because the definition of feminism is believing in equal rights. So I can't, you know, I stand by that, whatever I do or say.
Yeah, this is something that I was going to ask you actually about the term feminism, which has inevitably been used in discussions about your movie, and whether you had a personal definition that was a driving definition for this film, but also perhaps everything else that you've been working on and all of your other projects too.
It's interesting to see that word used in descriptions of my movie. I certainly don't mind. It's not a word I need to use, and I wish it was a word that didn't need to exist. Equality should just be a given. I have always thought that the opposite of feminist is misogynist. And any impulses we have that are hurtful towards a gender, any gender, I don't believe in them. And I don't want to be a part of them. And I'm always learning more about how to do that. It's never perfect. But yeah, it's just an obvious goal of any human being who has a heart. So the word is very simple to me in that way.
No, I had a feeling about that because when I was watching Mayday, I felt there was a kind of a sense of timelessness about it, as well as a fluidity in terms of genres and time, like I said, that sort of made me think that perhaps you wouldn't like for the film to be categorized under one specific term or to be labeled under a specific term.
Yeah, I will confess I don't love it because I don't see it that way. But, you know, the film is not mine anymore. It's to be interpreted however one wants to see it. And that is part of making things and putting them out in the world.
Interesting that you're saying that the film is not yours anymore. So you kind of accept the fact that once it's out there in the world, it's for people to see and for people to draw their own conclusions from it.
Of course, it means whatever it means to the viewer and the listener. You know, it's not for me to define. I can only tell you what my thoughts are about it.
It's interesting also that the world where Anna, the lead character of the film, is transported to is this picturesque battlefield. And we've heard about war terms often used in the fight for social rights of all kinds, but what is it that stimulated you, or was there anything that stimulated you as a filmmaker about the link between the two, the link between the war and social justice warriors, both from a narrative point of view, but also from a visual point of view?
Well, I find warfare interesting visually. Although it's brutal and I would rather it not be part of the world, it has a crazed excitement about it. I think that's why people are drawn to it. Throughout history, it's kind of the brutal way that civilizations are built. So I have a certain fascination with it. And social warriors, I certainly admire them in every way. And that's part of my makeup. I idolize these people and I strive to do my part in fighting for people whose voices aren't heard. So, and then in terms of the picturesque nature of the setting, I guess I wanted it to have, I wanted the film to simultaneously suggest an otherworldliness, but not some fantasy CGI weird realm. That's not appealing to me. Nature sufficed. The drama of the ocean to me is magical, and the border between land and sea is magical, and the horizon line is magical. So I don't need more than that to find a transportive landscape.
Would you consider yourself someone who is sensible to nature, is attracted to nature, or how would you describe your relationship with nature?
I am not one of these people who thrives in nature, except for the ocean. I love the ocean more than anything. When I get into the forest, I'm cold and damp and miserable, but I love being in water. I love the sea. I love sea creatures. I love everything about it. So in that sense, yes. But after that, I love cities.
You're more of an urban person.
I love urban environments. I love industrial environments. And I love the ocean. And I also have enjoyed visits to deserts. And I like extreme nature, I guess. I like the Arctic. I like vast deserts. I like things like that are very dramatic landscapes. I do enjoy. But I'm not sort of a naturist, I guess. I wouldn't put myself that way.
So what was it like then to film this movie, which for the vast majority of it is kind of set in the outdoors? Were there any challenges to go with it?
It was a brutal, brutal.
Yeah.
The elements are brutal, but that's why we use them. Wind and rain and forces. And these are the things the movie's made of. And this is the palette I chose to work with for the movie. And it was incredibly difficult. The climbs just to where we would need to shoot. Dealing with the elements, Croatians have 30 different kinds of winds. And one named Yugo came in and demolished our set within seconds. I mean, it was a whirlwind of weather. But, you know, I always thought of the Wizard of Oz as she's taken away in a tornado, so it was very appropriate.
I always wonder how why those gusts of winds or just, hurricanes, cyclones and all that are named by people. Hugo seems a very friendly name.
I know. It's such an interesting question. And now I'm going to have to go figure that out.
Right. So, and just to kind of complete the visual style, our thoughts on the visual style of the film, did you have any references from art in mind from different art periods? A hint of romanticism there.
Well, if you're hinting at romanticism, I guess some of that might come from my love of some of the Powell Pressburger films, like The Red Shoes, Black Narcissus. I don't know if those are pure romanticism, but to me, they have a feel of that. And I find them really striking, evocative, well-made films that use light, sound, and motion in extraordinary ways.
Yeah, I see that actually. Now that you mentioned it, I see that for sure. I see that influence. So as far as the group of women whose story we followed throughout the course of the movie, I always like to find out about this. Was there anything you did or a type of workshop to develop a certain chemistry between your acting ensemble cast that would benefit the movie?
Yes. So we immediately did a table read. It was swift and it went beautifully. And then we started telling each other stories about ourselves. And that sort of laid the groundwork for the training we had to do together, which was in weaponry and all sorts of things, combat. So we really trusted each other. We knew each other on a sort of intimate level. And we created sort of a fertile ground for the training that and the difficulties of the film and the excitement of the film that was to come.
Considering all the things that have happened in the recent past, especially in this past year between the pandemic and all the different protests that we've heard about all over the world, really, do you think that the film resonates in a different way from one that you originally envisioned, perhaps even just when you were writing the film even?
For particular people, I know that it has, and that's really all I know. But people have told me and written to me that they find it so helpful in this period. And so speaking to this period of unrest and isolation and just bizarreness, and then they find solace in it. And, you know, Juliette Lewis said, she's like, these girls are in another dimension. And that's what I feel like I'm in. So I think it does resonate with some.
All right, Karen, I'd have lots of other questions to ask you, but unfortunately we'll have to wrap it up. But it's been fascinating talking with you, and thanks very much for joining us.
Of course, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.